This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, talking about the Phillies. Big win last night. Have we been too hard on the Phillies? And also, the big news of the day, Dallas Goedert returning on a restructured contract with the Eagles. Big question remaining this offseason has finally been resolved. Dallas Goedert will be back, and now joining us to talk about all of it, we bring in 94 WIP's Eagles reporter and Eagles insider of the year, Elliot Shore. Parks joins us now. What's up, Elliot?
Man, I mean, I feel like I don't even need to ask, but Hugh,
yes.
I mean, come on. That's a banger right there, right?
No, that's like the one.
I mean, yeah, I know you are loving that one.
I know
yeah.
This one. It's because I remember it's the meme. Every time the 1st of May, he's always
that's
on.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
yep.
I knew that one.
JT?
That's always Justin Timberlake. Yeah.
Nice. Well, it's in sync, but yeah, it is Justin Timberlake.
Wait a minute, he's
yeah.
a part of Justin Timberlake. Yeah. He's part of NSYNC, right? Yep.
Right. I'm just saying it's a NSYNC song.
My bad.
Yeah, just to give him. I don't want you to be out in the street saying the wrong name and get embarrassed.
Justin Timberlake. Sure, yeah, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, exactly.
He's from Memphis. That's how I know Justin.
Elliot, I got to ask you the big question back in the day. You know, we're around the same age, but what was your favorite, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys? Which one did you gravitate to more?
Well, it's hard to answer this shortly, but I guess I would say I was Team NSYNC, but I think now Backstreet Boys have aged better.
Way better.
Yeah.
You know what, Elliot? I just remembered. The last time you was here, your wedding song, the lyrics are
a little risque.
Well,
a little
risque. They're different. The lyrics are, like, I listen to the lyrics. Yeah, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on with that.
Yeah. So it's a party song. I like to have fun with the
Yeah, okay, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get back to some Eagles.
There you go. Elliot Shore Parks, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. And Elliot, big news of the day. Dallas Goedert coming back to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Restructured deal. First off, just your thoughts on how big this is for the team to be able to get this done.
Yeah, I think it's a massive win for the Eagles. It's a win for Dallas Goedert. The money, Field Yates of ESPN is reporting, he gets $10 million. He was due $14 million. So look, $4 million less, I'm not going to completely dismiss that. But there were times this offseason where I thought he was maybe going to lose way more than that. So the fact that he ends up with $10 million, he gets to stay in Philadelphia. He doesn't have to uproot his life, go to another team, learn a new playbook. So I think it's a win for him as well. But I would say my main takeaway from this is I feel like so much of this offseason we've talked about all the moves they've made. The year 2026 is talked about a lot, right? Like, here's why they traded Chauncey, because they have to sign guys in 2026. Like, Jahad Campbell might be injured to start the year, but you know, this is about the future. Dallas Goedert to me is the first move this offseason that is strictly about 2025 and making sure they're good this year. So I think it's a move fans should be really excited about.
So this is a straight pay cut. There was no signing bonus involved. Well, I know that the details are still coming out about this.
Yeah.
So is that what it feels like, Elliot? Is it more of a
straight pay cut? Yeah, he took a pay cut. Now, again, the $10 million so he was originally due $14 million in cash this year.
Uh-huh.
So now, according to Field Yates, he's going to get $10 million plus potentially another million in incentive. So, you know, again, I'm not in a position to dismiss $4 million, but that is a decent portion of what he was supposed to get. But, you know, Josh Sweat comes up a lot when people talk about this, because Josh Sweat did something similar last year. He ended up cashing in big time this offseason. I view it a little differently. apparently. Like, Josh Sweat got to be the number one edge rusher on the defense. Dallas Goedert is going to start at tight end, but he is going to be probably the fifth option on offense when you consider A.J., Devontae, Saquon, and then, let's be honest, Jalen Hurts runs the ball quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I think Goedert, you know, maybe he has that big year and maybe he cashes in next offseason, but I think this is more of a true pay cut, whereas Josh Sweat, I think, did have the, you know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, thinking like, okay, I could actually cash in here.
Now, Elliot, one of the things Jeffrey Lurie talked about when he was on with the morning show on BG Day was the culture of the organization and people wanting to be here, wanting to play here. Let's assume Dallas Goedert may have had the option to get released, go somewhere else. What does it say about the Eagles culture that he's willing to take a pay cut and come back here and try to run it back, even when, like you said, he's the fifth option? If he could have gone somewhere else, been a second, third option, what does that say about the culture here?
Yeah, so, you know, I think Dallas wanted to stay here. I think that was always his first option. And I do think if, you know, he was playing for, I don't know, the Carolina Panthers, like maybe he is more open to moving elsewhere. But I would also maybe frame it a little differently than you did. I don't think this is him willing to take a pay cut, or this is him like taking less money to stay with the Eagles. My guess is the $10 million he got from the Eagles is probably what other teams are willing to pay him. And the Eagles essentially decided to match it. Like maybe there's a slight financial difference. Maybe, who knows, like just to pick a team, like the Colts are willing to give him $11 million instead of 10. But I think this is not like a you know, him willingly taking a pay cut because he loves it so much here. I think this is Goedert went out into the open market, didn't find the money he wanted, and this is the best deal he could get, and it also happens to be with the Eagles.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, Elliot, the other big news in the NFC East in the last 24 hours, Cowboys trade for George Pickens from the Steelers. What do you think about that move, and how worried should Eagles fans be about the Cowboys landing George Pickens?
So I think George Pickens is a great wide receiver. I think it's he poses matchup problems. He makes big plays down the field. Like, I really like the trade for the Cowboys. The only negative I would say from Dallas's perspective, and thus a positive for the Eagles, is that whole Dallas situation seems very combustible right now. Micah Parsons wants a new contract. George Pickens wants a new contract. Dak Prescott's coming off an injury. They have a rookie head coach who they promoted from within. Like, I think that that whole situation is not great. And so to add someone in George Pickens, who, let's be honest, the Steelers clearly wanted out of the building if they traded him for what they did, you just wonder from a culture perspective how all that's going to work together. So I think as a player, like, yeah, he'll cause problems for the Eagles when the ball is snapped. But I think more of the potential issue for the Cowboys would be like Monday through Saturday, and how do things work out in that locker room.
Yeah, and when you look at the Eagles' secondary situation now, Elliot, when you look at the corner on the other side of Quinyon Mitchell, obviously that's the guy who's likely to be guarding George Pickens in a matchup with the Cowboys. Who do you think's likely to be in that role, and do you think there's a possibility Cooper DeJean gets bumped outside?
I don't. I think Cooper, I guess it depends on the, you know, the defensive package they're playing. If there's only two cornerbacks on the field, I think Cooper and Quinyon will be those two corners. But I think when they play three, which, let's be honest, is going to be the vast majority of times, you'll see Cooper on the inside. So then on the outside, as of right now, it's Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson battling out for that job. But I think, you know, and the Goedert move in a way kind of signifies this. Like, the Eagles are going to, I know they haven't had a super exciting offseason yet. This Goedert move is probably the first like real exciting move for fans. But they will make trades if they think the guys in training camp are not getting the job done. They have, I think, it's something like 12 draft picks in 2026 when you include compensatory picks. So it'll be Kelee Ringo and Adoree battling it out. But if they get 2 weeks into training camp and Vic doesn't like what he sees, they will go out and make a trade because they certainly have the draft capital to do it.
I'm kind of curious. What do you think about Tyler Booker when he came out for the Dallas Cowboys and talked about how he can't wait to go up against Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter's been
the guard.
Yeah, the guard. Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I you know, I think if the Eagles drafted that player and he said he can't wait to go up against Micah Parsons, I think fans here would love it. You know, he's a player I actually liked for the Eagles coming into this draft. You read about him in Alabama and just like the attitude he had, you can already see that. I think in my experience, like the best offensive linemen have personality. You know, the ones I've covered that maybe don't have the best personality are kind of dull, like never seem to pan out. So I like that attitude from him. I would just maybe do a little be careful what you wish for, because Jalen Carter is pretty good. And as a rookie, I think that's a tough matchup for him.
Now, one more for you here, Elliot. I know you're a big fashion guy. Need you to grade Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, their looks at the Met Gala the other night. What did you think?
Yeah, so I would say Saquon's I was underwhelmed by. It was kind of basic. It wasn't like, I think at the Met Gala, you have to go and stand out and do something a little flashy. So I was expecting more from Saquon. I feel like he has more in the bag than he let out there. So little disappointed in just like the classic black tux that he wore. Jalen went a similar angle, I think. Like, he didn't exactly show up with, you know, a piano on his back or whatever like some people did. But I like the diamonds on the blazer were a nice touch. The hat added a little something. Obviously, you know, him and his wife look fantastic together. I think that added to the whole kind of aura. But yeah, I mean, I've said on the station for a few months, like, I don't think the city appreciates what a massive star Jalen Hurts is. And I think him being at the Met Gala showed that.
What do you think about Hugh going to the Met Gala next year?
I'm trying to make it happen.
I mean, look, here's what I'd say about Hugh, which I would respect a lot about Hugh in this. I think people go to the Met Gala and try to conform to the Met Gala. I think Hugh would just wear what Hugh wants to wear, right? Like, I don't think Hugh is trying to impress people. Now, you might naturally, because you have, you know, that natural swag about you, but I think you could pull it off. I think you'd be a popular guy.
I feel like he's not getting invited back, though, if he does that.
Yeah, I'm going to do, yeah.
Well, you only want to go once. That's true.
I'll probably be in the theme of it. Once I figure out what the theme is, but yeah.
You would go theme? Like, I picture you more just wearing what you want to wear.
Well, hopefully, because this was a pretty interesting thing. Once I went home and I kind of read about it, the dandy era.
And how, is that, like, what the theme was?
Yeah, okay. It was like the zoot suits, the color combinations. Like, black was the palette. But I like how a lot of some of the individuals played off of the palette. Mm.
Well, I'll say this. If you do get an invite, I'm not going to ask you to bring me as your date, but like, I will definitely help you if you would like.
Yeah,
my fashion
sense, you know.
Exactly.
If we went together, you know, people are going to talk. They're going to
be wondering. That would be great, though. You two together at the Met Gala would be the perfect combination.
Interracial couple.
Well, look, Hugh, people talk about me anyway, so it's nothing new. We'll just get to go to the Met Gala together. Yeah, exactly right.
Just hang out. We can do that.
Well, there you go. Well, Elliot Shore Parks, 94 WIP Eagles reporter. Elliot, thanks for hopping on, man.
Yep. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. So there was Elliot Shore Parks talking about the Eagles and Dallas Goedert situation. You and you guys maybe doing a little date at the Met Gala.
It all depends, man. I mean, I'm comfortable in my manhood. You know, as a matter of fact, me and Spike are running around here making movie dates. You know, Spike's not too far from me now. We talked about having movie dates. So yeah,
is that right? You and Spike are going to catch a couple films together?
Catch some films. Like, you know, I have this thing where I don't like going to the movies by myself.
You guys going to share popcorn in the cinema?
No, we definitely don't do that.
Oh, come on.
We definitely don't do that. But this was kind of weird. The one time that me and Spike did go to the movies, Spike, we sat right next to each other, which was a little, you know, I mean, you know. So I'm assuming how it's going to go. So he paid for the tickets last time. So the next movie that we decide to go to, I have to pay for the tickets, and I'm going to make sure that there's a seat between the two. But then again, if I do that, there's a good chance that I might get that one individual that buys that one seat in between us and kind of throws it off. So
do you go to a lot of movies, Hugh?
No, but I feel like this summer with a lot of movies coming out, because he mentioned it, that there's going to be a lot that we want to see. So we'll probably sit down and we'll probably critique some of the movies. Because we saw Sinners. We didn't see it together, but we saw Sinners and we compared notes on Sinners. So,
I took my son to the Minecraft movie a couple weeks ago.
I heard that was phenomenal.
How would you rate it, TK?
It stunk. I mean,
it's not for TK.
It's for kids.
You're not a Minecraft guy?
It's cool, but the plot didn't make any sense. It made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I find it difficult I would find it difficult to make a movie about a video game.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically, you know, Jack Black and Jason Momoa just acting crazy. And
that's
then
what
these
Doom
weird
was about, a video game.
Well, so I guess I should say this. A game that's more of a,
like a building game.
I guess video games with a plot, sure. I can see that. But, like, Minecraft doesn't have a plot. You just build stuff.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, it was a weird movie, but it was a way to, you know, kill a few hours.
Sure,
my son.
Right. And if your son likes it, that's all that matters. You know, you're not doing it for you.
Yeah.
Got to make sacrifices.
Yeah. And it's kind of easy taking the kid to the movies.
Sure.
You know, just sit there for a couple hours.
Eat some popcorn.
Now, does he behave himself in the movie?
Yeah, my son, like, loves
TV and good. Stuff like that. So nice. He was good. Cool. So that was a good time.
Do you behave yourself in the movies?
Yes, I did. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, things we're talking about today with the Phillies. Have we been too hard on the Phillies in the first part of the year? I think we have. Hugh thinks we have, does not think we have been too hard on the Phillies. And then the big news of the day, if you're just joining us, Dallas Goedert returning to the Eagles, restructures his deal. And this is a straight pay cut. Goes from 14.25 million down to about 10 million, $1 million in incentives. But the important part, Dallas Goedert returning. So the Eagles offense largely staying intact. And again, I think it's a great move. I look at Dallas Goedert when he's on the field. I know he deals with injuries sometimes, but when he's on the field, he's a top five tight end in football. And it would have been a really difficult guy to replace. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hugh, TK, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. First of all, I wanted to say I don't appreciate Elliot giving out my answer, man. Andre 3000?
Yeah. You got
100%,
it.
100%, man.
I paid attention to the Met, man. I paid attention to the Met, and I feel like an outrageous outfit he had on.
That was the one I was going
no
with.
Piano, Hill. I ain't wearing no piano, man.
No, but that's right in line with what Andre 3000 is, man. You know, that's what he does, and that's why I'm a big fan of Outkast.
Wasn't it supposed to be like a metaphor that he's carrying the music industry on his back? That's what I was told, at least.
See, I didn't know that.
You're a very cultured guy.
I thought it was harkening back to when people with movers come in and they would have a piano.
I don't know. Justin D'Orazio told me that, so maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but. Yeah, it was an interesting outfit for sure.
Explain more.
Yeah, I don't know.
What more do you know?
I gave you what I had. That's it.
Navigation started.
Uh-oh, where you going?
All right, guys. I want to touch on the Phillies and Goddard a little bit. For the Phillies, I told Kyle, I don't feel like we have been hard on these guys because we know what they're going to do during the regular season. We know they're going to push for the mega playoff spot. We know this. My thing is, the reason we stay hard on these guys, and TK, I heard you were talking about last year. It's not just last year. It's a year before that, and a year before that, the collapses. We know they get on these hot streaks. My thing with the Philadelphia Phillies is I want to see consistency hitting the baseball. I want to see hitting in clutch spots like these other teams do coming down the stretch or going to the playoffs. The regular season don't really concern me because we know Topper, and we know these guys are going to push to make the playoffs. My thing with these guys, why I stay on these guys, because what you're going to do, like how Hulk Hogan says, what you going to do, brother, when the playoffs comes and the intensity comes and these other teams want it more? What are you going to do? I want to know what you guys are going to do.
But this is the thing, Terrence. There's nothing they can do about that right now. Like, we'll see what the Phillies do when the playoffs come around. But in May, there's nothing they can do to show us they're going to be better in the postseason.
But, TK, one thing before I get on the Goddard thing, there's no matter of fact that they're going to make the playoffs. There's no matter of fact that they're going to going to lose a streak or going to win a streak. We don't know right now. We don't know how the schedule is going to go. We don't know about injuries. We don't know. That's why I say in the past seasons, you got to take advantage of your spots when you have a chance to succeed in these playoffs. As for Dallas Goedert, I feel like this is a big signing. I feel like that Howie was playing chicken for a while, and I feel like Howie won. He won it. But it's big because Dallas Goedert, he not only pass blocks and open up those big runs for Saquon, but he takes away the double team from AJ and Devontae. Mm. He brings the physicality to the offense that we don't have, that Clint Calcaterra don't have. And you know, the other DBs we saw in the playoffs, they don't really want to tackle this guy. He's big. And the thing about Dodd's guy getting hurt is I feel like if they get this guy, make him drink more milk and get him some vitamins for them bones, guy to be all right, man. So I feel like it's a big signing. He's a vocal point to our offense, man. And I'm all for it, man. Bring my guy Goddard back.
Well, he here. He's definitely back now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And appreciate the call, Terrence, and congratulations on winning Hughes Clues. But yeah, I mean, you look at the Dallas Goedert situation, you, and I do think that we underrate Dallas Goedert a lot. I think we underrate the things that he brings to the table in terms of, like, Terrence
said, healthy.
When he's healthy, taking the tension away from Devontae and AJ Brown. And the injury stuff, I don't worry about it as much because it's never like a season-ending type thing, it feels like. It feels like he'll miss 3, 4, 5 games throughout the course of the year, but it feels like in the postseason he's always there, and you can survive without him for a few games here and there.
Yeah, but your biggest asset in the NFL is your availability, availability, and a lot of times do not clip that off. A lot of times it's your availability, and when you're not out there, man, it just makes it tough. Oh yeah, and I found out what the piano meant.
Oh, what did it mean?
He dropped an album. It's called Piano Sketches.
Oh, so I was wrong.
Yeah, he dropped seven songs. Seven piano sketches, so he dropped an album.
It's a good thing you blamed Justin for that information beforehand.
Yeah. That was Justin. That wasn't me.
You've washed your hands of that entirely.
Yeah, I did. I'm like,
way to throw him under their bus.
I just heard this. I don't know it. So I'm going to blame the person that told me. So Justin DeRozio, producer here at WIP, thanks a lot, Justin, for getting it wrong and making me sound like an idiot.
First and last.
Yeah, well, that's his fault. I mean, come on. Come with the right information. I was on the other night. He comes on. I'm talking to him on the air. He very confidently says it's a metaphor for carrying the music industry on his back. Nah, he was dead wrong about it.
He dropped an EP.
Yeah.
And they're going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you, Hug, for doing that, yes. That research.
I'm here for you. I'm here for you.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Josh in Atlanta. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are y'all this afternoon?
What's going on, Josh?
Man, I am having a wonderful day. I'll tell you why I love Dallas Goedert staying with the Eagles. Number one, when we drafted him as a potential replacement for Zach Ertz, he definitely showed that he had the talent. Though he has an injury bug, every time we have him on the field, he's very serviceable, mm-hmm. and he really does have that dog in him when he's on the field.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, he's a really, really talented player, and we saw it during the playoffs. I thought specifically the Packers and the Rams games, he was really important to the Eagles in those games.
Absolutely. One of my friends is a Packers fan. I sent him that highlight for weeks. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I have a theory, because if I may I make a comment about the defense of the Eagles?
Go for it. Make your comment.
Perfect. So the defense has so much rotation, and I love the way that they worked with the draft, right? And I think there's a part of me that thinks that they want to make some money to see if they can get somebody on a veteran minimum. And my theory is Justin Simmons, because he mentioned that he loves playing for Vic Fangio. If we can make that happen, I think that would be a wonderful move.
Justin been out there for a while, though, right? That dog probably ain't going to hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been out there for a while, because you want to at least, Josh, bring in guys like before training camp start to get he probably knows the system, to your point.
There's still time.
Yeah, right? But I don't know. I doubt it. Unless somebody gets hurt. Now, if somebody gets hurt or somebody doesn't pan out, then maybe.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Appreciate it. And that's the thing. Justin Simmons, his name has been rumored around the Eagles. It feels like forever, mm-hmm. for like 2 years now. But I don't know. You look at all the guys they got there. I think they like Sidney Brown enough to where he's going to be on the roster. They draft Andrew Mukuba. They've got Tristan McCollum, a guy they've been developing over the last couple of years. Like you said, Hugh, it just feels like if Justin Simmons was going to happen, it would have happened.
They would have pulled the trigger on that right now.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know.
Yeah.
You just never know.
I mean, you got a lot of depth there, and I don't know. I don't think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is as big a loss as some have made it out to be. Like, I think obviously he brings a mentality, brings an edge, but he got beaten coverage a lot.
Yeah, the juice wasn't working. I think with him chirping the way that he was, not trying to just, you know, talk bad about him, but I think that he was chirping at the wrong time, and they just said, you know what, fine, we'll let you go.
I guess to me it just felt a little bit drastic. Like, he was under contract still for what, 2 more years?
They had him for a while.
It was just an unnecessary hole to create on the roster.
It was, but I feel like something happened between that, the Super Bowl, and the end of the season. Well, it's the end of the season, Super Bowl. But you know what I mean. Like, something happened where, you know, it just, the timing to me was odd. The Saquon Barkley signing, and then all of a sudden they move on from him.
And this is the thing with CJ. Like, I do think the majority of the move was financially motivated. I think they were trying to get ahead of some of these contracts they were going to have to pay to the younger players. But it can't be ignored, the fact that, what, he's been on a different team 5 years in a row now? I think, not that he's like a bad guy or anything, but I do think he has a personality that can maybe wear on teams a little bit. And like you said, I mean, if other guys are getting paid and he wants a new deal, that may have not been a healthy situation.
Yeah, it wasn't. You know? And I think they just decided that if that was the case, just move on.
Yeah, agreed. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Have we been too hard on the Phillies? Hugh doesn't think so. I think they're being underrated right now by the fan base. You can react to the Dallas Goedert news as well. Plus, more from Dave Dombrowski yesterday on the pregame show with Murph about some of the players down in the minors, how he thinks they've been playing lately. What does the future hold for some of these minor leaguers? That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.